Greetings, fellow investigators, and welcome back to our video podcast, Into the Darkness, where my friends and I play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Rayleigh. Our campaign is Horror on the Orient Express, and this is episode 56. I'm your Game Master, and Jeff Wilkins will be giving the recap. So prepare for the descent. The players are ready. Let's begin our journey into the darkness. Jeff?
Thanks, Tom. Our group's currently reading through the book called The Narito Detilius Corvus, which we are role-playing out the story. The time is 330 AD. We're just outside of Constantinople. Our group has just returned from the second town, Alicati, having captured two young cultists. We bring them to the military complex and interrogate them. After using some force, we learn that there is an army of cultists and undead creatures headed our way. With not much time to prepare, we must act quickly. We are forced to decide what to do about the refugees and the sick. Longinus tells us he will not allow the sick into the fort and risk spreading the plague to the soldiers. We reluctantly make the decision to leave the sick outside and only bring in the healthy refugees into the fort. The army soon arrives and our battle ensues. After a long battle, with many of the undead army falling to both swords and arrows, we overcame their forces and win. The lead cultist, though, escapes and heads back in the direction he came from, which we can assume is the town of Calicoi. The next morning, a group of elite soldiers gathers, and some quick repairs to our armor and restocking our weapons and arrows, we head off in search of the evil cultist leader. We follow the trail and end up on a trail that heads up into the mountains. We are surprised that a group of 10 legionnaires have caught up with us and offer to assist us, but not for long. The trail narrows to force us into single file. After hiking for a bit, Emmerich turns around and sees that those same 10 soldiers have changed their minds and have abandoned us on the trail. We're about a half mile further in. The trail opens up into a plateau, and it's surrounded by a 60-foot cliff on all sides. In the center, there's a huge pit that drops off into the darkness. That brings us up to date.
Indeed. In front of you, in a fairly flat area, there is a 25-foot wide pit dropping off into the darkness with fairly sheer walls going down. What would you like to do? You cannot tell how deep it is by looking in.
Does it look like a natural formation? Sorry, Jeff.
I was just going to say, I probably should have mentioned that the reason we're chasing after this lead cultist, not only to bring him justice, but because he was wielding what we assume was the knife.
What do you want us to do, boss?
What do you think we should do? Your counsel is needed. How shall we proceed tactically? And where do you think they went?
There's people on top of the cliffs throwing stones or rocks down on us. I'm worried about in a cabin like this. It's prime for ambush.
We followed a trail of basically the undead army and him. Did the trail lead to the pit itself or just into this clearing or...
The trail it started going up this hill, but eventually there was very little in the way of blood, so you can't really tell. There may be some spots of blood here and there up here, but it doesn't look like there's any other way past this. The cliffs around it, the 60-foot high cliffs, are impassable at this point.
And there's no signs of stairs or footholds or anything like that?
Well, are you guys looking at the hole? What are you doing?
Yes, I'm going to look at the hole.
Yeah.
Okay. It seems to just drop off into darkness.
Well, not being one to challenge tradition, I shall pick up a stone and chuck it into the hole.
Okay. How big of a stone?
Well, just a small pebble.
Okay.
Not a great big rock, but just so I can just hear it.
You drop the rock into the hole, and you don't hear anything.
I'm keeping my eye on the cliff tops for any signs of movement up there.
You don't see anything up there. Galerius, you can do a spot hidden.
Jeez. Double zero.
Okay. You begin to wander towards the pit, and somebody has to grab you to keep you from falling. What else would you like to do?
There's no signs of any way down, are there? There's no ropes or handholds.
There are no ropes. There may be handholds, except that they would be. It looks pretty steep. But go ahead and do a spot hidden for me, Mick. Millennius.
99.
We're getting there.
It looks like the lucky dice have given up being lucky then.
Yep.
No, yes. I'm too busy staring at Galerius to make sure he's not walking into the pit.
Anyone else?
What about smell? Is there any particular smell coming from it?
Not really. Emmerich, any ideas?
I've got an idea. It's probably it's either a good idea or a stupid one. So, I don't know if I want to do it. The rock may have been too small to give us a sound. So I'm thinking about taking one of my javelins, my Veritum, and just chucking it down there, just seeing how far it goes and seeing if I can hear the crash.
Okay. Are you going to throw it like a spear, or are you going to just drop it sideways?
No, I'm going to throw it like a spear. The more velocity that it has when it hits the ground, the louder sound it's going to make.
Okay. All right, so you stand up near the edge of the pit, and you sort of take aim, towards like the center?
Yeah.
Down below. And you let go of your javelin. And I would like you to do a listen roll.
No problem, senor. What's my listen? It's probably going to be terrible. Well, let's roll first, and then we'll see. So I got an 11. I don't know what my listen is. My listen's a 25, so that's a pass.
Okay. You listen, and you count, and you listen, and you listen. And you don't hear anything.
So I step back, and I don't know if I'd make the crucifix. I don't know if that's a thing now, but I definitely make it the X on my chest. Oh, okay. So we do crucifix. We don't do the X. All right. So I do the crucifix.
That's not a hole. What we've got there. That's your actual chasm.
The gates to hell, judging by the way he crossed himself. What about if I work my way around, where does the pathway continue to, or is it a dead end?
It doesn't. Yeah, there's a way you can walk all the way around the pit, but when you're on the opposite side of the pit, there's only about 4 feet between the cliff going up and the pit.
Got you, right.
Where you are right now, there's actually quite an area where you could stand in and deliberate.
Can you see any handholds from over there on the other side of the pit, Demonius?
Demonius, do a spot hidden.
90.
Lower. We're getting lower.
Falcons never look down.
It's really, really dark in that pit.
I refuse to look down. I always look up.
You don't suggest, Melonius, that we climb down into the pit.
Well, not unless there's any. Yeah. Not unless there was any handholds or a path or some steps or something going down, but I certainly can't see any, and neither can Devanius or the old man, it seems. It's awfully dark down there.
I'm wondering, is the rim of the pit, as it's going down, or I guess if it's coming up, is it smooth?
Well, I mean, roughly smooth. It's not glass smooth, but it seems to be at a right angle. It goes across the ground and then drops.
Oh, my God. Up there.
Emmerich, do a spot hidden.
Yes, master.
Again, you get a 92.
No, I got a 67, but that's definitely not enough. My spot hidden is a 25.
Okay, well, we're getting lower.
Well, I can roll again if you want me to.
Well, maybe we'll get back to you.
I would spend luck, but I didn't have that much luck.
Something doesn't want us to know what's in the pit.
You're our only hope, Belisir.
Yep, that's what I was about to say.
No. Yeah, let's let Belisir go ahead and take a look.
Are you kidding me?
What did he get? You think it helped you as well?
I got a 99.
Let's just go home, Sharice. You just go home.
Fuck it.
Wow.
I mean, we killed the things, didn't we? You know, that's.
Yeah. There's obviously nothing here.
I think we finished our mission here. Let's
Big hole. He's obviously fell in a big hole. He's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. Let's go on. Let's go and open that sports bar.
Well, see if you can try a few other things. See what you can come up with.
Is there anything else? I mean, can I do a spot hidden around the I guess, immediate area?
See sure.
If something stands out.
While he's doing that, can I make a track roll and see if I can see any signs of where the person we're following went?
Okay.
No, that's a 96. I need to switch. You know what? I need to switch up dice. These dice are.
Oh. 90. Man.
It's a record. This is a record.
All right. You know what? Yeah. There's some dark forces out there.
Hang on, this is the same game where in the last session we were all making really fantastic rolls when we were fighting.
We're killing everything. No, we can't even find a hole in the ground. I suppose none of us has fallen down the damn bloody thing.
I refuse to make a dex roll at any point this evening. Another way, this is...
Last session, that was the one I rolled two zeros in a row, and then it followed it up with a 97 or 98. I had three bad rolls in a row.
Well, let's assume that you spend a good hour trying to work this out, trying to figure it out, trying to see what you can. I would like you all to roll spot hidden with... a bonus dice. We're testing the fate.
How about a torch? And we can see maybe
80. Like
I got 88.
And
what was that, Doug Delirious?
Two.
I got a six.
I got a two.
All right, cool. What was that you said, Delirious?
I was suggesting maybe we try to throw down a torch, something lit that we could see. Like maybe there's just a moss ground cover and it's just getting something soft.
Before I deal with your rolls a moment ago, let's say that you try that. You find something that you can light on fire and you succeed in lighting it and you drop it down the pit. What you see is you see the flame fall and then wink out of sight and You never see it hit anything at the bottom. All right. As you're standing there, you guys are moving around. You guys keep looking and looking at the pit from different angles. And at some point, one of you is standing on one side of the pit and one of you is standing on the other. And one of you kicks a little bit of dirt. And that's when the illusion is sort of broken. When you're looking down at the from above, there is a stairway going down, or a ramp of stone, but it's so well concealed that you can't see it when you're looking at it. You have to kind of, it's only because dirt landed on it that you can suddenly notice, well, there it is. It doesn't connect with the rim, but it's about 5 feet below the rim. So you'd have to sort of jump down, and then you could go down it, which for everything in your being tells you that when you jump down, you're going to fall 1,000 feet down into the pit. But you can see where the dirt landed. It's a flat ramp going spiraling down the pit.
Can we deliberately throw a bit more dirt on it?
Yes. You're sure it's there.
It's well, why couldn't you hear anything, though?
You want me to go first?
Well, if you want to go down first, I'll lower you in.
I'll go down first.
I'll lower you in so you don't volunteer that.
And as he lowers you in, it is firm ground.
Yeah, it's firm.
And
doesn't look it, but it's definitely
and
firm.
And once you're there, the illusion is shattered. You can see from that angle. You can see the spiral going down.
I'll keep to where I am. So they've got a reference point with loans, those two.
And it's only the platform is the ramp is only about 3 feet wide. But
I'll move down a bit each time somebody loads himself down.
Yeah, okay. I'll stay until last to help lower people down so they're not just having to scrabble down.
You can't see what you're lowering yourself down onto.
You mean you were under the impression that we were going to follow you?
Okay, I'll be back in a minute.
Yeah.
We've got torches, haven't we?
What time of day?
Not on me.
Oh, I just turned over the too many pages at once there. I was going to say, yes, I've got a flashlight and...
I've got my hands full, ready to carry a torch.
Technically, it's still morning because you guys left early in the morning to get to Kaliki.
I'd say start heading down slowly.
Probably about 11 o'clock. Now, I'd say there's plenty of light, you know, but it's going to get darker and darker as you go down.
Yeah, hopefully our eyes should adjust to this one.
There's no issue with us. You said it's 5 feet. Like, we could easily get out, or do we need to tie a rope off or something?
No, you could climb out. You have to boost one of you up, and it wouldn't be that hard to do. Even if you didn't boost one of you up, you could probably, you know, pull yourself up. When you're standing on the platform, the rim is, you know, right up to about here. All right. So what are you going to do?
I'm going to go down very slowly and very cautiously with a javelin prepared just in case and my shield.
And so I know
we're going to have to go down at some point, aren't
we? I'll ready an arrow. I mean, I'm assuming because it's a spiral.
Yeah.
If there was anyone coming towards us, like I can launch arrows from the other side if I'm at the back.
Oh yeah, sure, you can keep me covered.
Can I have an order? Who's first, who's last?
Like what?
Domanius would be first, wouldn't you?
Let's yeah, Tilius is going to insist on going first.
Okay.
Not gonna argue.
But then who's second?
Me.
Dominaeus. Okay.
I volunteer for everything.
I'll go for it.
Belisir. And followed by who's last?
I was going to go last, I think. My thought was that if I go last with the bow, because it's a spiral, that means that if I'm last in the line, I could fire at the front on the other side.
Good idea. I'll go after Bellas here.
Okay.
And that means I'll go between Galerius and Melonius.
All right. So I'm
second to last.
So Tullius, Demoneus, Belisir, Galerius, Emmerich, and Millennius. Okay. You begin going down, and
can you say a prayer for us, Emmerich, before we go into the gates of hell?
You want me to? Yeah, we can. I won't do the hand holding thing. We'll bow our heads. We're men. You don't want me to do an actual prayer? Oh, hey, look, Simon's back.
I fell off the ledge.
Oh no.
We're just about to do a prayer.
You don't get rid of me that easy.
Well, now we're about to. All right, everyone bow your heads. And I say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us the warriors of light strength as we delve within the gates of hell. For who knows what is beyond, but give us strength so that we may purge this evil from the land. And then I do the X and then the cross.
Amen. All right. You descend about 400 feet down.
Jesus.
The pit hole above you is quite a ways up now. It's just a little circle of light up above. And as you're getting to about 400 feet, there is something below you. It almost, when you first look at it, it almost looks like oil, like the entire pit is filled with oil, except that it's not shiny. It's just dull black something. You can also guess at this point that whatever it is, the torch, the javelin, must have fallen into it, and therefore that's probably why there was no sound or no light beyond that point.
Is it pitch or something, or some sort of tar?
If it was pitch, you would have thought that the torch might have ignited it.
It's not exactly like pitch, because pitch is shiny.
Yes,
this isn't shiny at all. Now, you guys by this point have torches lit.
So this is a matte black.
We threw a torch in, and the torch definitely would have ignited it, wouldn't it?
Hmm. Well, and there's no smell of tar. Tar smells bad.
Does this cover the entire floor?
Yes. It's as if the whole floor were black.
There's no path through it. It's the whole floor.
The ramp goes right down to it. And
it could be like an optical illusion like we had up top with the path.
You guys, I assume you guys are all still above it. You're at least, 10 feet above it.
I'm standing behind Tullius, but I'll go forward if you want. Do you want me to go forward?
Sure.
Give it a
brave man.
Yeah, I'll cautiously go forward with my Hasta long spear and give it a cautious poke, see if it has any substance to it.
Your spear goes into it, but you feel no resistance. It's not a liquid.
Risk my spear up, reach forward, kneel down and reach out and touch it with my fingertips.
It feels cold. but it doesn't feel like anything other than coldness.
Like a cold breeze or something
like
that.
Like a cold fog.
It is at this point that I see, when I'm seeing this, I whisper under my breath, the darkness of hell. It's the Stygian abyss.
He must have come down this way. What's your order, sir? Do you want me to go down?
Oh, be careful.
Yes, sir. Right, let's edge my way down into the darkness.
Okay. I
told you we should have brought the stilts with us.
As your feet enter the blackness, you definitely feel a chill. Wherever your skin touches it, you can feel a chill to your skin. But so far, no resistance. And as far as you can tell, the ramp continues.
I don't like it, but orders, so I keep going.
All right. Once you're up to about your waist, I would like you to roll a sanity roll. This is too weird.
I fail by 7. I roll 77, and I have 70.
I think that what the reaction is you have to consider whether you want to plunge your head into that. It, yeah. And that's what's sort of making you hesitate at this point.
Yeah, I'll stop where I am and sort of hesitate then. That look of like an uncertain swimmer who's up to his neck and doesn't want to go any further.
Right. Be careful, Tilius says. Make sure, you know, do it gently. Make sure that you can breathe. Make sure that it's not.
I find it difficult to get the willpower to go in there, sir, to be honest.
Well, does anybody else want to go in with him? Shall we all hold hands?
I'll go down with him.
All right.
Is it possible to like waft the air or whatever? Like to
no, to make it doesn't sure it's waft. Waft.
I've got an idea, Demonius. I'll yes. stick my head underneath, right?
Yeah.
You grab the back of my tunic.
Yeah.
Right, I'll stick my head underneath, and you count to 5, and then pull me back out.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
So, on 3, 1, 2, 3, and I'll just from a standing position. I'm standing behind him. Okay. I'm just going to squat down.
Okay.
With my eyes open, and I won't hold my breath.
There's definitely the sensation of coldness. It's not really terribly cold, but it's definitely cold, and it's almost tingly. You can feel it. However, it's when you dip your head below, it is pitch black. And that's it. You don't suffer any ill effects. Your breathing doesn't change. It doesn't feel like you're breathing anything in. It feels like your mouth is cold, but
I'll pull him back up after the count of 5.
Yeah.
Seeing that he's okay and he has no ill effects, I plunge in.
Okay. Same thing.
Yeah, I'm sticking with him. I'm going to hold on to his belt or something.
Okay.
So that I'm following behind him.
I follow as well. So
use my spear to, like a blind man, stick ahead of me to try and work out where the ramp is.
All right. Well, once. I think we lost Jeff. No, Jeff's here twice again.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what this all is. This is ridiculous.
The time of two Jeffs.
It's me and Mick are next.
Yeah.
All right.
The only ones it hasn't happened to yet.
As you make your way through, other than the sensation of coldness, there didn't seem to be any other ill effects. However, after about 5 feet through it, It seems to not be there anymore because your torches show light. Okay, you can see with your torches. However, when you look up, there is nothing but blackness. It is a barrier of darkness.
I shall press on until our companions have joined us.
You also noticed another effect, and that is that you can hear nothing through it. I forgot that bit, but when you duck your head into it, there's no sound. It was deadened. So this is why whatever you threw into it, you could not hear it or see it after it hit this barrier. All right, the path continues in the same way that it did before.
Yeah, use my spear like a blind man's stick to keep a reference point to where the edge of the thing is that we can't see.
I'll put away my crossbow and pull out my short sword instead.
That's, I'm going to keep my bow out because I'm going to use it much in the same way that Demanius is using his spear.
All right. The path continues another almost 400 more feet.
Wow.
Okay. At the bottom of it, it levels out rather naturally, just leveling out. And you are in a small cave, not much bigger than a small room, but there is definitely a passage leading out of it, sort of at an odd angle. I'm going to go ahead and use north, south, east, and west, although you don't really think of it that way. You're thinking more like right turn, left turn, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's leading out to the south.
To 6 o'clock. Right, I go near there, but I'll wait till all my companions are with me before I go any further.
Okay. I'm going to cover the beginning of the passage, the opening.
Okay. Does that mean you're going to stay there, or?
I'm going to slowly advance towards it with the others, but just sort of keeping behind them on the ramp so that I'm over head level.
Right.
Until they get to
them. When you are all together in this little room, there are a couple things you notice. One is there is an odd smell. I'd say that it's a combination of flowers, like maybe roses, and something else, something you can't quite put your finger on. It's faint, but you also notice in your torchlight that there is the air down here is not crystal clear. It's got dust in the air, or it's hazy, or it's just, you know, on the verge of clear, but not quite clear. Like there's mist in the air or something like that. There's nothing in this room, although there are little bits and pieces of evidence that might indicate that this is definitely where people have been recently. Candle stub, maybe on a rock or something like that. And there is a passage leading out to the south.
But you would construct something like this. This is
it's all cave. It's all rock. So
it's all cave.
Oh, mine. Join the army, they said. See the world, they said.
Meet interesting people.
I would say it is actually quite genius if you're an enemy trying to set siege to a land and nobody can detect you. I mean, it was harmless to come down here to find a way to get down here. You know, so let's have a look. See if there's
that black stuff, though. That's magic, surely.
That's freaky, yeah, it was. Freaky. I convinced myself I couldn't breathe in it. It wasn't until you ducked your head down that I was convinced.
It all took you just a little bit of sanity to take that first breath.
Yeah.
Are you going to press on?
If you wish, sir.
All right.
Should we do a sanity roll?
I wouldn't say so, because we've seen one of our people go down there without any trouble, so
I think after the initial, I wasn't going to make you take any loss. I just wanted to see if you were scared.
Yeah.
And
I was.
the passage continues, not very far. I'd say maybe about 20 feet or so. And then it opens up into a much larger chamber. The floor is not exactly flat. It continues to get lower kind of in steps as it goes. This chamber is, I'd say it's about 50 feet across, side to side, maybe 30 feet deep. There are three passages leading out, one to the right, one to the left, and one in the center. They're not very large passageways. And the sort of mist is a little more prominent in here, and the smell of roses, or whatever flower that is, seems to be stronger in here. There also seems to be glinting up in the ceiling, something that's catching the light from your torches. That's as far as I'll say, unless you guys want to.
Like a silver. What do you reckon, Alden? What do you reckon?
To be clear, he said three exits. So in other words, there's four. There's the one we came in and then three others, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One on the north, one on the south, and one on the east. We're just going to keep losing people. Folks who are watching, we are very sorry for this. We are trying our best to find the technical reasons why this is happening.
So we've got a choice out of three, Alden. We can either go for the middle one or the one either side, left or right. What do you reckon? Middle?
Sure.
Do you want me to go down the scout ahead?
Don't go too far. Just
I've got a pretty decent sneak roll. If Tom wants to roll it for us, Mike, I've got 75 in stealth. I'm going to try sneaking through the middle passageway.
Okay.
And go slightly ahead to see what I can see.
Okay, we'll get to that in just a moment.
Okay.
I would like the rest of you to do a spot hidden roll.
I missed it by 2 points. I can spend luck for that.
Okay. No, I got a 7 out of 6.
Galeria, simply because you're probably more sediment than the others, you're older, you're more interested in the world around you than the task immediately at hand. Your eyes caught by this glinting, and you suddenly realize that there are large areas up in the ceiling that have been smoothed out, and there are murals that have been painted in various earth tone pigments, and that there are bits of gold that are glinting almost like icons from the churches, but these are depicting scenes.
Can I raise a torch high enough to shed light on it, but without trying to ruin it with the torch?
Yeah. What you see are pictographs that show it shows definitely on one side there are humans, but the humans are kind of primitive looking. They're wearing rags, more or less, and they seem to be armed with clubs in their hands. And what they are fighting against are, for all intents and purposes, smaller, squatter, dwarf-like humans. But I'm imps. Maybe they're like little demons. They don't have wings or anything like that. But these seem to have more sophisticated weaponry, spears and swords and things like that. The whole thing seems to be showing you it seems to be showing you some sort of a history of battles that raged between two different kinds of people. And they're always showing these imp-like creatures, these little creatures, as the winners, the triumphant ones.
Okay. I'll be sure to
they also make out. You feel very they make you feel very uneasy as you're looking at them.
No no writing?
Actually, this was just going to say, you also notice that there are some sort of hieroglyphic language that's way up high that's written, but you don't recognize it. You don't even recognize any of the letters or whatever they are. There's something very odd about the pictures, but they're too high up for you to examine closely. You're thinking maybe some of them may in fact even be mosaic. Like you've seen mosaics in the churches. But they're just too high up to see. All right. Let's see. All right. So Demoneus is now, you've gotten to the passage in the center going out, going towards the east. And it descends a little bit, and I would like you to do a listen roll.
Let's see. 11 out of 55.
That's really good. You stand still for a moment, and you suddenly hear what sounds like somebody coming up the passage. They don't seem to be trying to be quiet. They're just walking towards you, but you think you hear the sound of glint, the sound of metal. So maybe armor.
I'm gonna back off very cautiously.
Okay.
And as my companions, as I get to in sight of my companions, as I'm going backwards, I'll motion that I've heard someone coming, so we get either side of the passageway for them, so to speak, and I'm gonna try and get outside.
Okay, so you're getting on either side of the passage.
Yeah, yeah. I'll probably get on the left hand side.
All right. You guys can all now hear somebody. Somebody. It sounds naturally like possibly two people. There's definitely metal sounds, so they're probably wearing armor. You're guessing that it's probably a patrol, a guard patrol. A few moments later, two cultists, with robes and, obviously, you know, they've probably got armor on underneath it, but, as they step into the room, they both have torches, they both have flayed things on their faces where pieces of skin are missing. And they both look in that moment like they have been through a battle that afternoon. So they're pretty beaten up. They're not paying close attention. They're dragging themselves along, so to speak. So they're completely oblivious to the possibility that you guys are there, which gives you a complete initiative over anything you want to do to them.
I should imagine missile weapons would go first, wouldn't they?
Sure.
I mean, I've got a long spear, so I'm going to wait till they get into the room before I can let everyone out.
Well, let's let them get into the room so that the others can take them from behind as well if we need to.
I'll go behind them.
Once they've taken a few steps into the room, I'll let loose an arrow.
All right, we'll say one.
I'll go behind them.
We'll say 1, 2, 3 steps. They've stepped into the room.
Yeah, and okay. I'll cut off their retreat and go behind them.
All right. So who's going to go first? Mick.
Yep, I've got an 18, which is, oh, for God's sake, which is 1 point over an extreme, so it's a hard.
Okay. I got a 93, so.
So that's 1d8 plus 1.
All right.
This 5. Cultist. 5 damage.
5 damage, and he's got... He's only got 6 hit points. Okay, so you've hit him probably right in the chest, and he falls backwards as his friend. Well, unless you guys are going to attack the other guy who's with him.
Sure, we
are. I'm sure you guys aren't just going to attack one guy and let the other guy stand there.
No, go on then.
So who else is going to attack? Yeah, I'm sure you will.
I'll attack. So I'd imagine he walked by, so I will try to backstab him, more or less.
Okay. Got an 88. What did you get?
Are you fucking kidding me? Wow. I got myself a nice, neat 100.
Oh, no. I was going behind him, so he might have hit me.
Let's just say that you trip and fall and stumble. You stumble over a rock in the floor.
All right.
But that doesn't mean that somebody else can't do it instead. So.
Tom.
Yeah.
I will also attack. I'm just going to take my Sparta and just shove it right into the head or where the head should be.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I got a 79. That's a pass still, though.
Okay.
So it's going to be you that I blame for that critical fail. I went to attack and you pushed me out of the way. It's your fault.
roll for damage.
All right. 7
join the army, I said. See the world, I say.
I got a 15.
All right. Well, he only had 6, so.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
You basically just nonchalantly slice his head off. The other guy's fallen to the ground, seriously wounded, and before he can call out, I'm sure one of you just silences him forever. All right.
Yeah, I actually trip, fall, and land on the spear that was
good. Yeah, just as he goes, you just boom, land right on him, knock the wind right out.
Right, I'm going to go back down the passageway to see where they came from, see if I can get a bit further than I did before.
Okay. The passage is not a straight passage. It's windy, but more or less it's going east. The passage continues, but there is definitely a large room on your left-hand side. So you could continue that passage, or you could go into this big room. Now, there are torches lit in there. Right. And just by peeking around the corner, you can see that this is probably where the cultists
came from.
Hang out. So however, you don't see any more than maybe 2 people in there. And they're laying on their beds. Well, they're not beds. Actually, what you see is that they are laying in hammocks.
Right.
made of human skin.
I'm going to cautiously go back to my companions and paint a picture of them to see. Okay. So when we go back, basically I'll go past the room in the corridor and guard the corridor while some of them slip in to deal with the sleeping beauties.
Okay. I would like you to do a sanity roll when you see the
skin.
Hammocks made of skin.
While Demanius is off scouting ahead, can we just shift the bodies of the cultists into a relatively discreet corner of the chamber we're in?
Yeah, not a problem.
Actually, let's try to set it up like they were tired and they fell asleep, and so they're sort of leaning on each other, like they're taking a little nap in the corridor.
Okay. All right. So you guys have taken care of that. It looks like they're asleep. They're so sweet, except for the blood all over the ground. But then they're flayed. All right. So who's going to sneak into the barracks? We'll call it the barracks. To deal with the.
I'm guarding the corridor, so it'll be one of my companions.
All right. There are two of them, and they are asleep. Both are semi-wounded because of the battle.
I'm pretty stealthy. I'll throw my bow over my back and draw my sword. Go in.
All right. Go ahead and roll.
Oh! 5.
Okay. You said you drew your sword?
Yep.
You simply walk up to one of them and you put your hand over his mouth and cut his throat.
Okay, I'm going to move across to the other one. And do the same.
All right.
A 44, which is still a success.
Okay. In this case, however, just as you grabbed him, he woke up and tried to get away. So I need you to do a damage roll.
Okay. That's 1d6 well plus 1d4. Which is 6. No.
That's enough. All right. You dispatched him.
Okay.
Now, it looks like this room held a lot more cultists, but you don't see any.
Clean my sword, put it back in the scabbard, and get my bow out again.
It is possible you guys have pretty much wiped out this cult before, you know, at the battle.
Yeah, at the battle. I'm going to carry down the corridor a little bit while my companions wait at the barracks area.
Okay. Can I search the room?
Yes. One thing that you notice without even really having to try is that this room also has murals on the wall depicting similar things.
Should I make a sanity roll for the hammocks?
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
Oh, no, I failed.
Okay, 1 to 3. It's gruesome.
1.
One thing that you notice, you didn't notice it before, but it's all over the place. There are little holes in the wall, maybe about the size of your little finger. Okay? And from these holes, little puffs of smoke or mist come out occasionally.
Are they all puffing in unison, or are they doing it?
They do seem to be puffing in unison, as if there were some sort of mechanism or piping that's doing it. And what's coming out is this little puffs of the mist that you see everywhere and that you can smell, that smells like roses.
What about the murals? Are they the same as the murals in the other chamber?
Not exactly, but the same sort of thing. Everyday life of these little impish creatures, and it looks like what you're seeing is that at some point the humans were enslaved to these things, whatever they are. For Emmerich, what he thinks that he's seeing is very much like in iconography, that these are little black demons that have led astray the souls of the righteous and enslaved them, you know, to the devil.
I look to the group and I say, in a hushed, feared voice, fearful, I say, brothers, I think we're in hell.
Well, I joined the army, much, I said. You know, the prayer and all before we came down here. Figured that that's where we were going.
I'm looking around in kind of righteous horror that we have now descended into the depths, the living depths of hell.
We serve this living God. These gods seem to be long dead. But these demons. This looks pretty ancient to me.
Now, as you look closer, as you are able to get actually much closer to these hieroglyphs, you realize that they are mosaics, but they're not made of little tiles. They're made of something else. If you look closer, do a spot hidden.
Yes.
I have a feeling I know.
No.
So you're looking and you can't quite. What is
this? I got a 25.
That's a success?
Yes.
They're human teeth.
Oh, I was about to say human bone, but okay, human teeth. Should I make a sanity roll for that?
Yeah. And of course, when you say it out loud, everybody can do a sanity roll.
Uh-oh. And I do not make my sanity roll.
Cool. All right.
Do a 1d4. There's literally millions of them.
All right, I take 3 points.
It's worse than the Picts. Picts do that sort of thing. It's all I heard.
The tooth fairy is real.
Join the army. See exotic places.
All right, so I assume at this point most of you are in or near the barracks.
Yeah, I'm in the actual hallway.
All right.
Because I was going to scout ahead a bit more.
When you look ahead, you go about 20 feet more down the passage, and you can see that the passage opens into a huge cavern. And this cavern is lit with torches. And there is something gigantic right in the center. Maybe a pillar, maybe a stalagmite that's grown together. It's not clear because this room is completely filled with this mist, this overpowering smell of roses and something else. You can also see glints of of gold and light all over from the mosaics. This room is filled with mosaics.
I keep watch while I wait for my companions to catch up.
All right. You get the distinct feeling. You at this point you have an overwhelming, horrible. You know, you're walking into, you know,
yeah,
the temple of Satan or some horrible thing like this.
Definitely.
It's still a cavern, but it feels very strange. While you're standing there, I would like you to do a spot hidden.
Certainly. I fell by 3, but can I spend 3 luck points?
Sure.
I should do that.
All right. As you're standing there, once again, the wall, now the walls, the ceiling, everything is covered in mosaics and hieroglyphics. There's a lot of gold that glints in the light. This is obviously some sort of a temple. And as you're looking at the hieroglyphs, the others come up behind you. So they've caught up to you.
Right.
And you realize that you think you've seen some of this kind of writing before. It looks a little familiar. But
you recognize this old man? You see my companions recognize that. I point it out and it's a bit. You recognize that?
I can't quite get a good look at it to make sure.
Well,
something about it.
Now, as I say, this room is ginormous, so it's probably you can't even tell how large it is because the mist keeps you from seeing the other side.
Yeah.
But the roof, the ceiling is about, maybe 30 feet up. But wow, these mosaics come all the way down to the ground in this place. And there's hieroglyphs and lettering, whatever they're lettering, they're hieroglyphics all over.
Would Emmerich know it? Call Emmerich forward. You recognize that script, Emmerich?
So I'm going to look up at it. Does it look like Hebrew or?
Nope,
or?
Doesn't look like anything you've ever seen before.
But we've seen it. It looks familiar.
Well, Demoneus, do a spot hidden.
No, I fail. We're 76.
Okay. Damoneus, you look forward. You look closer. You can. You've gotten over the idea that all of this shit is made out of teeth, which is horrific. But you're looking at it, and you suddenly feel lightheaded, like something is. Like something is getting to you. Maybe this mist, maybe the light, maybe just the overwhelming feeling. But
put my hand out to the water, brace myself.
You suddenly realize that you think you can understand it. You think that this language, it was not obvious a moment ago, but now it just suddenly seems rather obvious.
Yeah.
And I would like you to do a sanity roll.
Six. That's 19. No, I fail.
All right. I want you to, at this point, you start staring at it, fascinated. Okay.
Right.
And that's all you do. You stare at it, fascinated.
Okay.
You stop interacting with the others. You're pretty sure you can figure out what this says.
Sure, and concentration.
That's all you're going to do.
Okay. Any sanity loss?
One D3. The rest of you are looking at Demoneus, waiting for him to say something. And he is just standing there staring at the wall, open-mouthed, and ignoring anything else at this point.
Can I interrupt Dr. Keith and say, is anyone buying this? Is this fiction from way back when?
Well, I mean, you have to bear in mind that there's a certain amount of poetic license, and we're seeing things through the lens of ancient Romans. I mean, I don't know. I'm not even sure. I mean, this says that it's the narrative of Tullius Corvus, but it may have been written sometime later. We don't know. So I'm not sure how reliable it is as a historical document.
It doesn't say anything, Doctor, about there being an author yet. You're the one who's reading this. Is there an author that's described?
Well, so far it just claims to be the record of Tullius Corvus.
Yeah, it seems to be all one person's point of view, doesn't it, Dr. Keith, judging by the way it's been written?
Yes, it's written as a first-person account.
Yeah, especially with the nouns and the verbs that we used.
Yes.
Well, other than the clear connection with the skin and possibly the knife.
Yeah, there's elements of reality to this, but it all seems rather surreal.
Yeah.
Doesn't this whole thing seem surreal? Even the knife. We've come across things throughout our journeys that seem surreal.
Yeah.
We were to sit down and pen our adventures so far.
It's true.
Sound like fiction to others. Yet yeah, we know that it happens.
I mean, we've read about this knife before, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. Here it is.
And last time we read about it, it was in that tower, wasn't it? Full of bloody carcasses.
Yes.
Damn bad show, man.
Certainly a similar motif, isn't it?
Looks like these poor chaps are going into the same sort of thing.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. I didn't mean to break your train of thought.
I have to say that after what's happened, after the business in that cave and the thing I saw in my hotel room, I'm somewhat more open-minded when it comes to these things, perhaps, than I used to be.
Hopefully this just turns out better than the story with those three gentlemen that went down to Istanbul. And the one that went insane, and the one that died, and then the one that killed himself.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it turns out better than that.
Yeah.
One of those was a female.
One of them was a female, but it's 1920.
Sorry. You tell me. What you're
gonna do. I'm going about staring at the wall.
Is he okay?
I try to snap my fingers in front of him.
All he does when you do that is he tries to avoid your hands so that he can see the wall better.
All right, well, I'll leave him be then. He's concentrating, folks.
I didn't even know he could read it.
Are any of the rest of you going to look at the wall?
I don't know anything about ancient languages.
I'm more concerned with Demoneus because I believe this is hell, and so therefore I'm going to believe that the devil is going to try and tempt us. So I call out, Demoneus, what are you doing?
He's completely unresponsive. Except that you can see that his mouth is moving. He's seems to be mouthing something as he's staring at the wall.
All right, so I'm going to approach. I'm going to put my hand on his shoulder Okay. And I'm going to say, it's the devil who's tricking you. Look away.
Well, when you put your hand on his shoulder, you are able to sort of move him around. However, he doesn't stop. He just continues staring at the wall and mouthing something.
Okay, so I'm now going to look to the group, and I'm going to say, I think something's wrong.
This is a curse.
It's the devil trying to possess him. He's looked upon the demon's writings, and it's allowed them to possess him. They're in him now. And this is when I begin praying over Damanaeus.
You have a benediction for that, don't you?
Wow. The only way that I know how to expel is, and I look to my blade.
Can't we just put a bag or a cloak or something over his head?
See if
stopping him from looking at it might break the spell or whatever it is happening.
Perhaps. Mm-hmm. I remove my cloak and I'm going to put it over Demoneus's face.
Okay. Demoneus, please do a power roll. Power roll.
A power roll.
Willpower.
Willpower. Let's see. No, I failed with 76 out of 65.
Right. I got an 80. Technically, I guess you got a better roll than I did. At first, you immediately, when they cover you over, you begin to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You try to take the damn thing off. And you're doing it not like you're possessed, but you're just like, you want to read the fucking wall.
Yeah, I want to see what it says.
But you also feel a little nauseous. You feel as if you've been distracted or something has been, you know, taken from you or something, but you really, really would like to get start looking back at that wall.
Yeah.
You were sure that you were understanding it, that there was...
I just don't have it.
I say that a little too cheerily. It's horrible. What it's saying is really awful, but you want to find out what it's saying.
Yeah. I want to finish it. I want to see it. Don't do that. Don't cover me up.
What do you guys want to do?
Is he actually communicating with us, saying that?
Or is it... Yes.
Okay.
I can't breathe.
Okay. I take it off of him.
Okay.
You start reading again. Look, was I reading that bit there?
Yeah, he immediately goes back to staring at the wall.
And all right, then I will get between his eye line and I'll look him dead in the eye. And
he's trying to look around you.
Okay. I look past him to the group.
I'll ask him directly. Like, what does it say so far?
Unresponsive. I would also like to know if any of the rest of you look at the wall.
Not after this shit is going on. Hell no.
No.
There is wickedness afoot, I think.
What do we do with them? We can't just leave them here.
What I want to do, since our focus has been clearly on this, I want to actually start looking around to make sure that we are still relatively alone.
Okay. I would like you all to do a sanity roll. And if you fail, you lose 1 point.
This is including me?
No, not you.
You won?
I passed.
Jeez.
I fail, and I'm going to lose another one. So.
All right.
So that's 4. All together right now. Put it back
in front. All right. You are in a large room that's filled with mist. It's the mist is much thicker in here, and there is something large and pillar-like in the center of this chamber that you can't quite make out because of the mist. And you can see that the room goes quite a bit farther because there are torches lit in this room, except that they're just glowing balls, you know, off in the distance through the mist.
Can we get a closer look at this?
You're gonna go towards the thing in the middle?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, first, I am look at, you know, initially did say that I was looking to make sure that we were, like I say, relatively alone here. Like,
well, there don't, you can't really see the other end of the room, and you don't hear anything.
Right.
Although, I mean, you can hear cave noises. You can hear occasionally drips of water.
Okay.
And things like that, but you don't hear any noise, any people or anything like that.
I'm tempted to let him keep reading. Maybe he's going to figure it out, but
yeah,
I feel like the longer we wait, the more dangerous it gets too.
is he really managing to read this? I mean, it doesn't look, when we looked at it before, it didn't look like anything we recognized. I mean, I never knew he could read ancient languages. Is he really reading it, or is it just, or is it some kind of mania?
It's possession. I tell you, it's a demon or the devil that is allowing him to read this. This is a language that mankind wasn't meant to read. And I'm now beginning to panic.
Okay, when I see his level of concern, I'm going to step in.
I'll turn to him and I'll say, listen, I understand your panic, but
I should be
rough. You know, we have God on our side. Right?
I look at you, Belisir, and I say, God does not look down here.
But God did create this place, right? And we are blessed by this God of yours, right? So why not?
As they're having a philosophical debate, I'm going to throw a cloak over his head.
Ah.
Okay. Yeah, he rebels against that quite strongly. He does not want to be blocked.
Can't breathe.
Why don't you do a grapple roll on each other?
Malik. I'll be at a minus, I should imagine, because 77, I fail.
I got a 97.
Oh, my God. Throw your dice away and buy new ones. All right. So he immediately just throws the cloak back off of it again, shoves you away, moves a little farther on, and continues reading. Occasionally, you can see from his facial expressions that he's reading something horrible, and he'll even gasp a little bit, but then continue reading, eyes wide.
I should think of a like good relationship with Anthony.
All right.
Perhaps this isn't. What if this isn't writing? What if it's some kind of trap?
Well, I should have given Simon. I should have given you the chance. Do a power roll.
A power roll.
Yeah.
No, 94.
Yeah.
As a fourth. Oh, as a fourth.
All right. So,
Kafuga.
Except that you keep stealing the screen from everyone.
I'll mute myself.
All right. All right. So, what do you guys want to do?
Yeah, I'm walking towards whatever was in the middle of.
All right. As you approach, you realize that it's a stalagmite that's grown together. It's about, I'd say, maybe 3 feet thick. But as you get even closer to it, you realize that it has been carved. And what you're looking at is a huge figure of a skinned human. It's flawless. It's perfect. It glistens in the light. It looks like it's in physical agony, but its face has an expression of power and cruelty. You need to do a sanity roll.
He's coming. I got a 3. Finally. Jeez. How much do I lose?
You don't lose anything. You're convinced it's just a statue.
Okay.
But it's phenomenally it's a masterpiece of horror.
A masterpiece of horror. Nice. I mean,
now you can also tell that not far away, there's other things to the east in this room. Once again, it's obscured by the mist.
All right.
But
I'll let somebody else go.
What are the rest of you doing? You can be standing over by Simon. Dominaeus, or you can move towards this big statue in the center as well.
I'll move towards the center. I think I'm quite concerned about Dominaeus, but I don't really know what to do about. I mean, I don't know what to do about magic. I'm not an augur.
Okay. I'm sorry. Are you moving towards the statue?
Yes.
All right. I would also like you to do a sanity roll.
Ooh. 64 and my sanity. Oh, my sanity is 62. That's a fail.
Okay. Jeff, how do you send a secret message? I can never remember this.
/2TO space name.
Oh, this is ominous, isn't it?
Sure is.
Especially when it makes it obvious.
Use Facebook if you're not sure.
Got it.
What did I miss? We saw a statue.
He sees. Yeah.
The statue of a skinned human being.
Nice.
Exactly what I said.
Saint Benedict. It's dear old Saint Benedict.
You know this man.
Okay, what happens is Millennius moves forward, and as he looks up at the statue, he suddenly stops dead in his tracks looking at it. And I'd like him to do 1d4 damage.
Damage?
Yeah, from or the sanity. No, you fail your sanity. 1d4.
1d4 sanity.
Yeah. Damage. Yeah, sanity, sorry.
That's 2.
Okay. He gasps and backs away from it.
Well, that can't be.
Who else?
How could that be here? How could it be that? I don't understand.
Who else is going to move forward and look at it?
I'll ask you, you know, what is it?
Can you see? What? Look at it, look.
Shug off.
It's the statue. It's me!
Do I see that when he says that?
No.
And I look up at the bat.
Oh my god.
Emmerich, you looked at it?
I'm looking. When he says it's me, I look up and I'm going to look in that direction because I imagine I'm praying next to Devonaeus, but when he says that, I break from my meditation and look up.
Okay. Well, you can't really see it. It's too obscured from where you are. It's foggy.
Okay. If there's no one else around me, I'm going to stay with Devonaeus, but if there's someone there to stay with them, I'm going to approach.
No alpha tip.
I'm sticking by Dominus because I'm going to try something. I get a chance.
Okay. So I guess we kind of you let me know that, and I stand up and I'm going to approach. I'm going to approach Malonia.
All right.
Approach the statue.
All right. Do a sanity roll.
Okay. I pass.
Just looks like a statue. But a statue, a very exquisite statue of a flayed human being with a glaring sort of look on its face. And, obviously and a deity of some sort.
And this is when I begin remembering the tablets of Hermes that describe hell as above, so below. All that fun stuff. So I look over at Belisaire, who is sitting by Melonius, and I'm going to just give him this grave, like, dreaded look. Like, we either need to move on or we need to get out.
Oh, Nod. I'll turn around and point back to Simon.
Dominaeus.
I always forget Tilius is there too, and Tilius moves beyond. He doesn't look at the pillar. He purposefully keeps his eyes down and walks past it, but he wants to see what the other torches are farther on. And he says, "There's like a table and chair over here."
Is there anything on the table?
Books, papers? Well, you can see him in the mist, and he's sort of like, it looks like there's blood on it. And this chair over here has leather straps.
All right, let's go over there and investigate.
Okay. At this point, if Galerius, you were over by Damanaeus, you can no longer see them. They're okay. Lost. They're gone off in the mist.
Okay. Can I take this? Sorry.
Go ahead.
I have an idea to try for Damanaeus, but I don't want to interrupt.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. So I'm going to step in front of him, and I'm going to smack him. I'm going to smack him across the side of the face. And all right. I'm going to start yelling at him. Listen up, you maggot. Your men need you.
I will. When you smack him, you slap him really good and hard across the face.
Yeah.
I'm
going into drill instructor mode.
Damanaeus, do a power roll, but you can do it with a bonus dice.
Oh, well, I'll get 99.
Yeah, but you have a bonus dice.
What?
Roll another.
You roll another dice. Two number tens.
Yeah,
T10. And 40 for my second roll. 99 for my first, or 40 for my second.
Okay. So 40. Did you pass your power?
Yes. Roll my power. Yeah.
All right.
My power is 65.
He slaps you, and you immediately turn to him, and you're like, "What the fuck are you doing?" You know.
I snapped to attention, though, because I am a soldier and I've been programmed. So I've been tracked by a superior officer. Sir!
And the spell, whatever it is broken. There's a part of you that wants to read more. What you read was horrible. But
really? That's but terrible.
You have the ability now to resist.
I'm going to try and resist it, because I feel sick.
Okay.
I'm going to throw up.
Yeah, you feel sick.
Then I'll throw up.
No time for that. Move forward. March on. Your men are up ahead. They need you. And don't look at the statue.
I shall press on.
All right. So are you guys going to walk towards the statue?
Yeah.
I need you both to do sanity rolls.
I haven't seen the statue yet, so I better roll a sanity roll. I'll make it. I'm getting used to it.
I'm having a mental block. I'm looking to roll under or above?
Sanity? You're under.
Under.
Okay. Yeah, 50, 66, so that would be a pass.
All right. So what you both do is when you walk, since you heard the other people's reaction, you avoid looking at it directly. Okay.
Right, well, clearly all of the others have gone insane because they can't see that this statue looks exactly like me.
Do I have to slap you too?
Front of the
floor. Look at it. It looks like me. The statue is a statue. Why is it a statue of me? This place is, I mean, that would, think how long that would have taken to carve that statue. It's probably older than I am. Why would it look like me? I don't understand. It doesn't make sense.
Keep moving.
All right. What you discover over where Tilly is that there is what looks like a place where they trained their cultists in how to skin people. They strapped them down. They strapped them in chairs. There is a small shelf nearby with little curved knives. None of them glowing, just knives. But definitely a kind of a school for skinning. You also notice that over to one side, over on the south wall, kind of in the southeast corner of the room, there is what looks like a carpet on the floor. It's kind of purple, and it's got little silver studs in it. You also notice that on the wall there is a kind of tapestry that's kind of a pinkish purple with little studs in it. Your guess is it's probably skin.
Worse than the pits.
What are these people?
Well, I mean,
the
what's that? Simon, what did you ask?
Is it a doorway, you said?
Or
tapestry?
Well, the tapestry might... The tapestry looks like it's thrown over kind of a rod at the top. It's not attached at the bottom.
Try looking behind.
It does definitely gives you the impression of like an entranceway.
Yeah, I use my spear to try and move it aside rather than...
You can't get that close
to the hands.
When you...
I'm not feeling that.
Before you can step that close to it, you take a couple steps. You're about 3 feet away from the carpet on the floor when the carpet suddenly flies up into the air and moves towards you. It is another one of those skin things.
Good.
All the fill. And it's all of its little edges have sort of look tattered, but they look like teeth. So the whole thing is flying at you. And it got the initiative, so it's going to... You tell me what you want to do, and I'm going to see if
I can. I'm just going to try and dodge out the way.
Okay, I got a 70. So you manage to jump out of the way as it seems to sort of attack.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's trying to attack. What do the rest of you do?
Do I get a blue spear?
I'm gonna chuck an arrow at the bugger. Well, I mean, I'll shoot it from my bow. I'm not just gonna chuck it.
Okay, go ahead.
Like a dart.
Right.
That is a 9. Oh no, hang on, sorry. 59.
Okay. What you
read it through a glass.
What you sort of realize though is that your arrow goes through it. It punches a little hole, but it does very little damage. It seems to you that a sword would do a much better job on this big hunk of skin.
I'm going to go for the swing.
The sword.
I'm going to shoulder my bow then.
Nice. I got an 11.
My sword.
Yeah, I got an 86. So go ahead and roll for damage.
All right. That is 5 points, though. So not much.
All right. You definitely hack it, but it keeps coming. It's slithering on the ground. At the same time, you now notice that the curtain that was hanging down, which looks very similar, has suddenly sprung to life, and it is going to come flying at you guys.
All right, I'm going to charge at the one that looked like the curtain and that's flying at us, and I'm just going to run, and I'm just going to bring my sword up and just slice down the middle.
Okay, go ahead and try.
80, I pass, but just barely.
Okay. It fails to dodge out of the way, and you bring it down. So go ahead and roll your damage.
All right, we're looking at 8 damage.
And okay, it's damaged, but it's still trying.
Okay.
Who hasn't gone?
I don't think I've gone yet.
Go ahead. What do you want to do?
I guess I was reacting first to the one that came
on the ground.
Yeah, the one. So I'll swing my sword at it. Hey, 26.
Okay. Go ahead. Damage?
Damages. 6 points.
Okay, you managed to chop it into pieces with your sword. So the other one is coming. Who hasn't gone?
I think that's everyone for this round.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the one the one on the ground you just killed. So the one in the air was heading towards Emmerich, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's not mine.
So I'll let Emmerich go again. I think he's going to try to get you.
33.
Okay, it actually got a 5.
Oof.
So, damage. What damage does it do?
Don't forget armor. All
right. Mr. Combat Wizard, is armor like damage reduction in Pathfinder where it just reduces the amount of damage I take? Or...
Yes, it absorbs damage.
Okay.
Well, what it does is it wraps itself in part around one of your arms and digs in its teeth. They're not really teeth, but that's how they function. And it does 4 points of damage to you.
Okay. So I'm now down to 11. The beastie can't take me down that easy.
So did you roll your armor roll then?
Oh, I did not. I had to roll an armor roll. I don't know how armor works.
I think it absorbs it automatically, I think.
Well, mine's listed as 1d8.
Okay, so I roll a 1d8.
My armor, well, it was 6 points. Unless, my armor.
Is it on your character sheet?
Mine's 1d6 as well.
Mine says 1d8.
Oh, okay.
So I roll the 1d8 and then
1d8.
Okay, so I am actually at a 13. You can't take me, beastie. All right. So if it's wrapped around me, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to take the spatha, and I'm just going to kind of get under it and stab up into it.
Okay. Go ahead and roll.
66.
That's 72. All right. Go ahead and roll some damage. I don't think that there's much damage that needs to be done to it. So
I did 13 anyways, yeah.
You managed to tear it off your skin and cut it into pieces. All right.
Excellent.
It was concealing a passage into another room.
Okay.
Want me to scout ahead, boss?
How did you know that passage was there?
It just looks like it opens into another room. Not really a hall.
Let's go ahead cautiously.
How is Melanius was still had his wits about him enough to react to the thing, the creature, right? He's not under some spell, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Feeling all right there, Melanius.
He's just convinced that thing looks like him.
I can't help but wonder why there's a statue of me here. This seems like a bad omen.
All right. But this, the opening into this other room is actually fairly large. There's torchlight inside, and all you can see from where you are standing is that it's a small round room, maybe only 15 or 20 feet wide at its widest. And in the center of the room, on the floor, there is a cloaked figure with its arms up, you know, like this. And as you get your wits about you, the figure lowers its arms and it stands up and it turns back and looks at you. And what you are seeing is a human being. He has had, obviously, he's had pieces of flesh removed from all over his body. He is holding in his hand a curved blade that seems to glow. And he says to you, in Latin, he says, "I am Unwin Gawalith, chosen of the skinless one. Your skins are mine." And with that, he drops the cloak that he's wearing, and he is completely naked, but except for this knife in his hand. And he is like
I said, a javelin.
All right.
Hurl a javelin at him.
I'm going to shoot an arrow at him.
I miss.
Okay. He simply steps out of the way of your arrow. Yeah. How about the arrow?
21, which is that's a hard.
He got an extreme. So he also steps out of the way of your arrow as it flies past him. And he comes forward.
Bastardus.
Who is in the front? Who's going to get attacked? Whoops.
Be me, I reckon.
Well, when you put it that way.
Well, let's assume that the Damoneus was in the front because he needed enough room to throw his spear.
I did say I was going in first.
Yeah, so. All right. He is going to attack you full force. What are you going to attack, or are you going to dodge?
I'm going to try and dodge. I've just thrown the javelin, so it's going to take me a while to get my spear ready.
All right, go ahead and roll your attack. Your dodge.
I fouled by 2.
Okay. He got a 26. He swings the glowing dagger and hits you. And it does. Where's that dice? There it is. He does 5 points of damage.
It slices right through the armor. Okay. I roll dice.
Well, it slices right through your armor, so your armor doesn't do any good.
Oh, okay. Oh, so 6, is it?
It's the Mensahis. You know it is.
Yes, it's that dagger again, isn't it? Yes.
I think you said 5, didn't
you? Yes, 5.
5, yeah.
Okay. He is kind of a show off, so he's doing these little acrobatic spins and stuff like that to try to get hit as many of you as possible with his knife.
Seeing as he's like a show off, I want to see if he can fight us while answering a few questions. So I'll ask, what's with all the skinning of these people? What are you guys up to?
He's not answering questions.
Oh, man, I wish he was like one of those 1920s villains.
James Bond villain where he reveals his entire secret plan.
Yeah.
So who's going to attack him next? We had two people with that.
Yes, I'm already.
Other people.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll step up.
Emmerich?
Unless you guys want to do it by like dex or something.
I'll go after after you do.
Okay.
And I'll go after Wayne.
Double zero.
What are you doing?
I was swinging with my sword, and okay. I completely missed.
Okay.
I dropped my sword.
At a double zero. We'll say that he manages to knock your sword out of the way. And yeah, he doesn't succeed in anything either. So you both, nothing comes of it. Emmerich.
Oh, I think that it's Belisir and then me.
Oh, Belisir.
Yeah, I'm going to swing with my sword. And I got a 30. 30 out of 80.
Okay. All right, we'll say that you hit him. How much damage?
It's 5 points. 5 points of damage.
Okay. All right. And now, Emmerich.
So I'm going to roar a battle chant and then just immediately charge Spathla up, shield up. I'm going to just try to boom right into his skull. So okay. I roll. I got a 56.
He got an 18.
Ah, fuck me.
So you miss as he brings the Mem Sahis down upon you.
Okay.
And he does 2 damage to you. Okay. Now, at this point, who did he damage before? Was it Demoneus? Demoneus, the wound that he gave you.
Yeah.
Burns like fucking hell.
Okay. I wasn't going to be taking any actions or anything like that because I thought I could be badly wounded. I'm just going to hide under my shield.
Do a constitution roll, though.
75. 70, I roll 90.
Okay. You suddenly find it difficult even to hold your shield up. You fall to the ground shrieking in agony.
Right.
Okay. So now what he's going to do is he suddenly sort of steps back from you. And as he does this, he says something in some language you don't understand. And as he says this, his skin, whatever's left of it, that's not flayed, suddenly begins to tear off his body and form itself into another thing, one of those skin things. But at this point, he's almost completely skinned. And that thing is going to fight too. All right? So, I think we're going to go a little bit over, if that's okay.
Well, I'm going to shoot an arrow at the original chap who's now sans skin.
All right.
Ugh. Oh, that's a 7.
Okay, I got a 77. So,
Oh, that's an extreme as well. Do I get an impale on that?
Sure.
Oh yes. So that's 9 plus 2. That's 11.
Okay, your arrow sticks right into his right above where you imagine would his heart would be, and jams into him, and he reels back, but then he continues to try to fight.
Oh dear.
Now the skin thing has formed itself into what looks like almost like a centipede of skin, and it's reared up and it's going to attack. Who's next on the list to do something?
What do you think?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I imagine I'm still within sword distance of this guy, so I'll keep swinging at him. There we go. That's better.
I should mention that Tilius is also doing stuff too. He's trying. Okay.
12, which is also an impale.
Okay. Go ahead.
8 plus 4 is 12. 17.
Nice. Okay. Professional soldiers, we are.
Finally.
You deal a rather seriously damaging blow to him, and he reels back. And as he reels back, the last little bit of skin that's on his face begins to rip loose, and all of the skin around his mouth and jaw become what looks for all intents and purposes like a bat thing. And it comes flying at you with makeshift teeth to attack. And he has sort of reeled back against the wall. And you see Tilius moving towards him. So I would like you to try, well, you can try to swing at this thing coming at you, or you can try to dodge. You already did something, so who hasn't gone? Let's say Emmerich. This okay. bat demon face is coming at you.
Okay. I will slice.
Okay. What'd you do?
I got a 73.
Okay. I got a 40.
Well, fuck you.
So it is going to try to bite you.
Okay.
And damage. It actually makes a little bit of contact. It scratches you. It does one damage. But okay. At this point, you now start to notice that the knife wound that you got from the Memsahis is starting to burn. And I would like you to do a constitution roll.
I passed. I got a 35.
Okay. So you don't fall to the ground screaming. Damoneus is still in agony. All right. For the sake of brevity. Okay. The battle goes on a little bit longer. And ultimately, Tilius has the guy cornered, and he brings up his sword, and he point downward. He jams the knife right into Unwin Gawalith's chest and pushes it in, you know, like that. As he does, the cult leader screams, sort of howls in anguish. He drops the Memsahis on the ground, and he explodes like a bomb going off. Tilius flies through the air backwards, blood covering him completely. Blood flies up into the ceiling. It flies on the walls. It splashes on you. And I would like you to all do sort of an idea roll.
And you think you've seen everything. 39.
26.
Okay. It just seems to you like there is not that much blood in the human body.
Yeah.
It's like a gigantic bomb of blood that goes off. Now, Unwin Gawalith is dead. And the skin things that are in the room, even the ones that were still a little bit alive, suddenly fall to the ground completely lifeless. You feel as if something has been lifted when this happens. But you also look over and you notice that Tilius is lying on the ground on his back, unmoving, covered in blood and gore.
Rush over to him.
All right. He's very dazed. He's obviously took the complete brunt of the blast. He tells you that, you know, I don't feel well. I think this might be it. I think I have internal injuries. He says, make sure that Gamelius gets my logs and keeps keep updating them. Take that weapon that he had and give it to Gamelius. Make sure that the Goths don't get it. He says, I'm not afraid to die, but I want to go home. And I want you to tell Evdokia, my fiance, that I love her.
I will.
And he passes into unconsciousness.
Is there anything I can do? I mean, I'm not a medicus.
Well,
I have first aid.
Let's do a sum up. We'll move ahead, and since we want to finish this, we're going to go a little over, but not too much. All right. So what you manage to do is you do manage to take Tilius and get out of there. You guys have to carry him. It's not easy, but ultimately you get back to the Gilean outpost. Now, what you discover when you get back to the Gilean outpost is that every person, those very few that weren't killed by the plague tent, the ones who were infected, all seem to have suddenly recovered. There is no sign of the plague at all in anybody. Eventually, you get back to Constantinople, and still with you have the Memsahis and you have Tilius Corvus, but he seems to be comatose. He seems to have been severely injured, and you've taken your time getting back. But the Lady Evdokia, when she greets you and all that, she's wealthy. She's a wealthy widow. She makes sure that Corvus has the best physicians that they can get. Magister Militium Alexius Gamelius, he hears your report and he takes possession of the Memsahis. He's satisfied that the mission was a success and that no further action needs to be taken. He swears you to secrecy. I'm sorry?
Do we get a bonus, at least?
I'm getting there.
Extra. Okay.
He swears you to secrecy, but he gives you each 2 months' leave, and he gives you a bonus equal to 1 year's salary. Mm-hmm. He also instructs you to return after the city's dedication for your full reward. For the mission and formal discharge from military service. All right. So, over the course of a period of time, you finally get to the dedication, which occurs on the 2nd of April, 330 AD.
Okay.
The celebration, which is less than a month from when you started this. The celebration for the commemoration of the city continues for 40 days. During the 40 days, there are parties, there are parades, there are official ceremonies, there are politicians, there are church services, there are performers, animals. I just imagine 40 long days of a huge celebration as they're dedicating the city. The military officially at this point adopts the hero, the cross with the letter, as their symbol, which is a Christian symbol. You spend a good amount of this time relaxing, enjoying yourselves. I could go on and on about the celebration that goes on. On the 40th day of the celebration at the end, it's now May 11th, 3:30. The ceremony concludes with a massive procession at the Hippodrome. The entire population attends to see a huge statue of Constantine wheeled around the arena, escorted by soldiers in ceremonial dress, bearing lighted tapers, followed by chariot races. Okay, you probably all take place in bits and pieces of this. You're all part of this. The name of the new city, Nova Roma Constantinopoliana, New Rome, the city of Constantine, is engraved on the stela and set up in the Stratagion. Now, there comes a day. The day after the ceremonies conclude, a well-dressed Greek youth delivers good news to all of you. He is a messenger sent directly from the Lady Evdokia, and she reports that his mistress's fiance, Tribuni Comites Tilius Corvus, has recovered from his injuries and grows stronger daily. You are all invited to a small wedding celebration on board her family's luxury barge, the Plethora. He explains that Tilius Corvus told him to personally make sure that they got the message and urged them to join him in this festive occasion. The messenger smiles and says he mentioned something about his poor judgment and said that you'd understand. The reception will be held on the evening of the 12th of May, the day after the dedication ceremony. Okay. That morning, though, after the dedication finishes, Magister Militium Gamelius, he meets with all of you. He delivers various rewards, such as the loans that you've asked for to start your own businesses, deeds to land or properties within the city, minor government appointments for those of you who wanted them, and lastly, he salutes each one of you and signs your discharge papers, formally retiring you with honor into civilian life. And then he says, now that you are free of the military, I would like to know if you would be interested in taking on another assignment. One that you would be paid for. The knife has been stolen. It was stolen during the celebration at some point. There was a guard who was meant to guard it, and he was killed. And it was believed that a couple of Goths managed to escape with the sword, the knife. One of them was shot and killed by a crossbow, but the other one got away with the knife. So I was just sort of thinking that you guys and Tilius did such a great job, maybe you would be willing to go hunting for it. I haven't had the chance to speak to Tilius. I actually wanted to make an appointment with him, but he refused to come to my office. He says that his wife, I guess she's going to be his wife tonight. She's got a pretty tight rein on him, so she doesn't want him harmed anymore. But in any case, maybe you could propose this to him at the wedding. I can't make it to the wedding. I've got other things I have to do. So are you willing?
All I've got to say is that Germania can wait. Onward!
All right. So, the evening comes. You get on board the Plethora, which is a beautiful luxury barge. There are... it's decorated with silken banners, purple and white. There's lanterns that are hung. There's soft music from a group of players. The reception is a fairly small one. Only about two dozen or so guests, which includes you. You have become, over the course of the last few months, familiar with Evdokia's family, because, this was the man that's going to marry your commander. You especially like Evdokia's brother. He's rather a heavy drinker. But then again, you all are kind of heavy drinkers. He seems like the most likable out of Evdokia's family, although they're all very lovely people. He actually holds a government position, so he was in the military long ago, but not any longer. In any case, you're on the barge, and you can see off in the distance, of course, Constantinople. You go about a mile offshore, and you can see the beautiful Constantinople laid out to the side with the sunset comes and the lamps are lit, and Lady Evdokia and Tullius Corvus make their entrance to the applause of their guests. Corvus nods at you, and he seems, of course, preoccupied with the wedding. There's a young priest named Theodoric, one of Lady Evdokia's nephews. He marries the couple. They exchange their vows and kiss. I would like you to all do insight rolls.
Nope.
Yes, 26 out of 40.
Get a 16.
Okay. Those of you who passed, those of you who didn't pass, you find that everything, is lovely. It's a beautiful wedding. Those of you who did pass, you know Tullius. You know Tullius very well, and you can see that there's a hauntedness to him now that wasn't there before. He obviously... the horrors of what you went through, they seem to weigh very heavily upon him. You can see that although this is should be the most joyous time of his life, he is definitely distracted by those things, by something, As Evdokia and Corvus are pronounced man and wife, a call goes out for a toast to the happy couple. Wine is poured for everyone. And, Corvus holds the cup up and he says, to my wife and my future.
Salute.
Cheers.
Okay. I drink. He says,
"Bottoms up."
I drink, he says, to the friends of Tribuni Comitis Tullius Corvus. and he looks at you with a look on his face. And as you're looking at him, you feel odd. A sudden wave of nausea comes over you. You look around, confused, and you notice that the other guests are also suddenly grabbing their stomachs. And you feel a burning sensation inside. He says, but Corvus is dead, and I have no need of friends. And he suddenly grabs Evlohia by the head and bends over and rips her throat out with his mouth. As the rest of you and the guests begin to fall to the ground in pain, with pain in your stomach. I would like y'all to do sanity rolls.
Oh,
87. I've seen it before.
Fail.
Poison's not going to stop this guy.
If you pass, 1d4. If you fail, 2d6.
Oh, shit. One and three. That's 4 points.
7 for me.
Right. There are sounds of yelling, crying. Corvus stands there and suddenly reaches behind something and pulls out a sword. He moves through the guests. His father-in-law is in agony, and he hacks his father-in-law's head off and stabs a couple of servants and begins moving through the crowd, killing everyone that he comes in contact with. Some of them you see him reaching down and pulling them up to himself and drinking from their open wound. You guys need to do a constitution roll. If you fail, you are unable to do anything.
Tom?
Yes, sir.
37, that's a toss.
The power of God.
75, that's a pass.
Has come upon me. I had a 1.
All right. You are able. Oh, I'm sorry. What did everybody else get?
I got a 75, which is a pass for me.
I got 37, which is also a pass.
Okay.
In fact, that's exactly half, I believe.
All yes. Right. Well, for the sake of time, each of you attempts to do something to him, and the result is either you are stabbed through the middle or your heads are cut off. Okay. And I will have Dr. Elizabeth finish the last page of the book, which reads this.
I tell you now, upon my honor, that the events that transpired are as I have told them. I am not a direct witness, except the last part, but being the brother of the bride, I was close friends with them. It was the noble men of the forces Falcones themselves who shared with me these stories in the days preceding the wedding, and no man can call them liars. The terrible destruction that followed, the deaths of almost all on board the Plethora, including my beloved sister Eudocia, attest to the fact that something horrible now walks the land. If you ask how it is that I survived, I will tell you that I did not drink that day in respect to my sister's wishes. When the guests first began to choke on the poison, it was one of the soldiers who fell against me and knocked me overboard. Before I could get back on board, I realized the treachery of that monster who we once called Tilius Corvus. I saw him smite the servants who did not drink. I saw him cut down his own family and rip out my sister's throat. I saw him revel in the blood, I even saw him drink it like wine. Those of his own men strong enough to resist the poison he slaughtered with a Sparta. In horror, I swam hard and fast for the shore. I thought I would drown from exhaustion. I was in terror that he would find me, and so I hid myself for many weeks. It is only now that I give this account. I fear that you will find it unbelievable, but it is true. The evil one walks among us, seeking whom he may devour.
And that's where we'll leave it. We'll leave it there, and you guys can discuss the book next week. So our players included Thomas McKeon, Mick Swan, Simon Ward, Jeff Wilkins, and Wayne Worthy, with myself as the Keeper of the Secrets. Please consider visiting our Patreon account. Just a few dollars a month will help us greatly. We're currently producing 4 shows a week with music and sound effects added in post-production in order to create a richer listener experience. We're also providing audio-only versions of our shows free for you to download from Podbean or iTunes. Like, share, and subscribe to our channel for updates on our latest shows, and leave us some comments. We love hearing from you. You'll find links to everything I mentioned in the description below. This is Tom Rayleigh, together with all the members of our gaming group, inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Until next time, good luck and good gaming.